Funding for WBUR comes from MathWorks, creators of MATLAB and Simulink software, accelerating the pace of engineering and science. Learn more at MathWorks.com.
Massachusetts House Speaker Robert DeLeo plans to show his hand this morning in the high-stakes gambling debate. It's already known the speaker favors two resort-style casinos for Massachusetts, as well as slot machines at the four racetracks in the state. DeLeo, as he unveils his bill today, is expected to recommend capping the slots at $1,000 per track and will call for a 25% tax on casino revenues. Those proposals were reported by Jim O'Sullivan, a reporter with the State House News Service, who joins us this morning to talk about it. Good morning, Jim, and thanks for speaking to Morning Edition.
Thanks, Bob, for having me.
Jim, lay out the cards for us, so to speak. What's the context for the speaker's bill unveiling today?
The context is radically different, Bob, than it was 2 years ago when Sal DeMacy was the speaker, and the House killed the governor's casino bill on a 108-44 vote. Because the economic environment is different, and because House leadership is different, the political landscape is a lot different, too.
Tell us about the proposal that you're reporting for a 25% tax on casino revenues. Who'd support such a levy? How much do you think it'll generate?
Right. The speaker's proposed, and, you know, this is based on reporting that we did yesterday and sources that have been briefed on the plan. The speaker's proposed 25% rate is kind of right in the range of what the casino executives have suggested. And estimates for how much it would generate range somewhere in the $250 million to $300 million range.
So 25% is pretty much exactly what the casinos in Connecticut are charged, but it's less than what other states get. Do you think that's a rate that would be then supported by lawmakers?
It's a little bit above what the executives have asked for, but it's certainly in line with what they want. You know, lawmakers will support what they support, and a number of them will follow leadership, but they'll also listen to the industry, and the industry is going to tell them that 25% is about right.
Governor Patrick, we know Governor Patrick supports casinos, but he's also on record as opposing slots at racetracks, which has been a real sticking point in this debate so far. Do you think the speaker's proposal today will do anything to unstick that argument? Do you think that's why he caps slot machines at 1,000 per track to try and move that argument along?
Right. You know, the speaker's kind of entering in a few different political landscapes here. And the first one is the House of Representatives, where he needs 81 votes, a simple majority to pass, and potentially around 107 to get a veto-proof majority. What, you know, the slots carry their own sort of delegations. The House members who represent the racetrack areas are pretty fiercely loyal to those tracks and to the jobs that they represent. So the speaker knows, and the speaker represents a pair of tracks, the speaker knows he needs to appease those delegations and the racetrack owners and workers, while at the same time sort of doing this interesting little tango with the governor over slots. Now, the governor's come right up to the line of threatening a veto on slot machines at the racetracks and stopped just short. So we'll see what happens there, and that'll be a dance between the governor and the Speaker and, frankly, the Senate President over the next few months.
One of the most high-profile Republicans in the State House of Representatives, Karen Pulido of Shrewsbury, has complained to House leaders that the whole plan smacks of inside deal-making. She's a candidate for state treasurer, and she's calling for slot machine licenses to go out to competitive bid and not go automatically to the racetracks. Do you think that argument will carry any weight in the House?
You know, that's something that is going to draw, I think, public scrutiny. The, you know, Karen Pulido, like you said, is running for office, so it is campaign season. The argument against that, I think, is going to be that these are, you know, existing jobs at the racetracks that are already there. These are venues that are already set up for gambling. And, you know, the racetrack owners have sought for years to be sanctioned to install slot machines. So that's certainly, you know, the public is wary of backroom deals up on the Hill. That's something that's going to get some attention. I think ultimately the political pull that the track owners have is going to carry a lot of sway in there.
So let's look forward. What do you see as the possible scenarios as this bill moves through the legislature? Do you think it's likely it'll pass the House and then the Senate?
Scenarios abound, but I think the likelihood is that it's going to pass the House in some form. You know, the numbers might change a little bit. The Senate is a little bit more leery about slot machines, so there's a chance that, you know, they might nix that. And, of course, the governor is reluctant to embrace slots. You know, we put piece out yesterday that sort of envisioned a third way under which the Speaker might propose a compromise where they nix slots for the tracks, but they carve out X percentage of the casino tax revenue to subsidize slots where there is live racing and where there is still simulcasting off-track betting. With the Speaker and the Senate President and the Governor, the big three we call them, all behind expanded gambling in some form, there's a strong possibility that some kind of gambling bill is going to pass and become law this year.
Jim O'Sullivan, reporter with the State House News Service, thank you very much.
Thanks, Bob.